Hello, so I'm Michal Koutný. I work at SUSE at various security-related stuff and also on systemd sometimes. So today I will do a retake of service restarts. The explanation of the title is retake, like when you are shooting a movie, when you take a scene again. So look at it again. So the contents of the talk today. First, I will introduce some theoretical model or just a model so that we know what we talk about. Then I will present some user perspective, I mean from the users of a systemd perspective. Then some perspective of the service developers. Then the fourth point is the R template implementation that I've been playing with, and also putting it in relation to other work done in this area. So the definitions, usually the definition in systemd is that restarts is just a concatenation of a stop and start of the service. So we could think, well, is there any question or comment? Okay. It would mean it's just a syntactic sugar, but we will look later that there is more than just a concatenation of these two operations. So the stop, we usually want to somehow correctly terminate the processes of the service, and the start is also not as simple, but for us here it will be just forking the new processes, setting up the environment and then execute them themselves. There is also work done on that currently, but we will focus more on the restarting part. So the example daemon we have here is basically just a loop that processes data as long as any data are there to process. The client requests are usually these incoming data. And we also have some way to interrupt the operation of the service with a signal so that we break out of the loop and clean up the operation of the daemon. So what is important here that we don't just arbitrarily terminate it, but we do some cleanup work. And it would be accompanied by such a simple unit file, which is just enough for this use case because of the default configurations. We can also help ourselves with a socket unit file where the file descriptor that we obtained data from is configured by systemd, and then in our daemon we would have to change our construct fd function. The important useful function is the sdlistenfds that will give us information about the past file descriptors that we've got set up from systemd. So this is the model of the daemon. So what actually happens during the restart, we see that on the left-hand side is the PID1 or the service manager, and there are two instances of the services, the old service and the new service, and then there is a client. Here we have a variant where during the cleanup operation, we wait for the ongoing client requests so that we cannot stop immediately, but we have to somehow finish the client's request, and only after that the old service terminates and we start the new service. So you see there is some delay because of the ongoing requests. Another variant would be that we terminate quicker by just dropping that client request, not responding it. But here we could utilize the socket created by PID1 so that if the client notices the drop, it would perhaps retry. And even though the new service is not running yet, it can communicate via the socket that is still handled by PID1, and then PID1 passes the socket with the client requests in the start environment to the new service, so the new service can handle this client. So we had this socket utilization shown, and we shortened the gap. We didn't have to wait for the client, but it's a different kind of service when we drop the requests. So that is the theoretic model. So now, why actually we want to do the restarts? Typically, you would want to reload the configuration, which would mean reloading configuration of the daemon itself, if it's somehow customizable, or the unit definition of the unit file for the service, as it's done in systemd. So then you can restart the daemon because you want to update the code. Sometimes you can help yourself with live patching, but that's not always available. Another instance would be some kind of infinite jobs, I would call it, like getTTY, that is respawned indefinitely, actually, respawn indefinitely, or restarts are a popular method of problem remedy for various reasons. And I want to stop at this problem remedy for a bit more because there is some new stuff in systemd that I've noticed has been done recently. Systemd supports the automatic restarts for some time already, there is some mechanism to limit the rate of restarts so that it doesn't get stuck in a restart loop if there is some unrecoverable problem. And so there used to be the default pause and the rate limiting directives. And recently there is also a pair of exponential back off directives where you can specify the maximum interval it will try before restarting the service, and also a number of steps before the interval is reached with the exponential backoff. In the picture, we can see that actually the more steps you use, the more tries you get before you reach the high number, the high interval. So. Now, more about the stopping of the service from the user perspective. So there are here are listed the directives and their default values. Here I will not go through all of them, but on this slide, on this diagram, I would like to explain them a bit from the left side to the right side. So on the left-hand side, we have the signals that were described there, and from the top down, we see like a time passing. On the right-hand side, those are the states of the service as systemd internally tracks it, and the actions that transition service between the states. And there is the association with the actions and the configured signals. So on the left-hand side, you can see that, hang-up signal is optional, actually, hang-up signal is optional, and kill signal is also optional. What I wanted to say that the hang-up signal is actually additional on top of the terminate signal. Never mind. And the middle column shows us what is the effect of a kill mode directive. So usually, in the first attempt, we will target only the main process of the service, and only in the second attempt, we will send the signal to all processes of the C group, depending on the configuration. There is one special value of this configuration, which is called kill mode none, which means that all of this is skipped and no signals are actually sent. So to make this a picture more readable, here's simplification for the demo service I've presented previously. It only goes through three states, because if there is no action defined, it will just skip to the next available state. So when we are stopping the service, it goes from the running state, waiting for the child to terminate, and then it's that service inactive. So that was how we stop the service and what controls we have for that. Now, more from the perspective of the service implementations. I showed you initially that you can use systemd to set up the sockets for you, but sometimes it may not be possible. Either you want to have it set up in your service on your own, based on your configuration, or it might be file descriptor to some kernel object that actually cannot be covered by socket units. So still, systemd provides you an API for this called FD store when the service before it stops in this cleanup work, it can back up the file descriptors inside the PID one. It can tag them with a name, and then when the new service starts, so it can search by the associated name the given file descriptor and restore the state from the old instance. And again, there are some directives that we can use in the Unity file to restrict the amount of data that is actually stored in PID1. So I've mentioned restore the state. So another method that is useful for some smooth restarts is to serialize the state in the old instance and the new instance, then can pick it up and start where the old service was. This requires that the service is designed with that in mind. As an example, we have here so the service is the PID one itself, and the client is the systemd run command. The systemd run command is basically a request from a client that takes 5 seconds, and in parallel we start a daemon reload of the service. So what we would see is important are the timestamps. So this is the messages from the client that it got some handle for a job that is created internally in PID1. Then we do the reload. This is the reload happening during the processing of the request. We see that the systemd serialized its state. The job that represents the ongoing operation is serialized, and then it's again deserialized, so it can continue the work, and the client then gets its response as it expected. So it gets the response from the new instance. There is some different behavior of daemon reexec, but I'm not going to talk about it here now. So what is actually the problem? Has multiple facets. As I said, it's not always possible to represent the internal state the services are not always implemented with this serialization from the beginning. So it's a big change for their code. Second, the socket units might not be always possible for the use case of the resources that the service needs. And typically, this problem that I present was solved by many services by using the kill mode none, basically telling systemd to take hands off of the service, and the processes between themselves somehow managed to keep running, finish the work, and the new service would go on with the work. So could we somehow help here with systemd? So first, as an approximate solution, we have the socket activated units. Slav showed the systemd can set up the socket. There is one option called accept yes. That means that when systemd starts the service, so it actually starts service for each connecting client. So here is a demonstration. It's used, for example, by systemd core dump service. So I patched it so that it takes longer, and I can play with that. And if I had three processes core dumping in parallel, you could see that there are actually the three instances of the service running in parallel. So here is here is a diagram of how the restart could look like with a templated service. So here, the important points are that the generation N service keeps running until it handles the ongoing requests from the client one, while we can start the new generation one, sorry, generation N plus one service overlapping with the running state of the generation N. So, okay, we have overlapped services. That doesn't sound good because there is also some notion of unique instances of the services, and that is why we have a new directive called exec restart pre. It's just a name, but the purpose is to release the uniquely owned resources of the old generation, and whatever it means, it depends on the service implementation, so it's a generic. And if this succeeds, so only then we start the new overlapping instance, and the new instance would handle requests from the new clients or from the new clients on. So this was quite theoretic. So here it's explained better in detail. So I've created a SSH service, modified SSH service. The important points here are that I've specified the exec restart pre as terminating the connection handling daemon, and the important change is that I've changed the file name so that it looks like a template file name, but it uses a hash sign instead of an at sign. So if I start such a service, I reference to it by the regular name SSH without the special character, and if I see its state, so it shows that it's running, but actually it is following state of another service, which is a mechanism that systemd already has for device units. We have devices with multiple aliases. Each of them has a unit, but only one of them is the canonical one. And so here we see started service follows state of some service instantiation. If we look at the status of this instance or generation, so here now it's, now there is only the connection handling process, but if for example, two clients connect, so we can see that we have four more processes, two processes for each client. That's because I've also used the use PAM node, so that it's not, they are not spawned into a separate PAM session, but they remain in this main C group. The point here is they just represent the long-running jobs or long-running requests of the service. Client requests are being handled. Now we want to restart the service. So if we restart the service, we see that actually it's still running, and it follows a different generation, which is different number, different name of the generation. And if we look how it looks like now, so we see that actually the connection handling process was terminated in the old generation. It was started as part of the new generation instance, while the previous generation still handles the client connections as long as they need, or as long as timeout is sufficient. So this is the idea of using somehow modified templates for restarts of services. So it could be used also for socket activated services, or for any generic services that have some long running jobs that we want to keep on the side to finish them, but we also need a new instance. I was also thinking about somehow extending this so that the old generation of the service could help the new generation to be brought up, for example, like the root storage daemons, but that is quite a wild idea still. So So these are some extensions. Here I want to also mention, because as I said, it's retake, because this was looked at by many people before. So there was some experiments, or it helped to figure out what would be the useful directives that we need. So there is the libzadr project and these two pull requests that unfortunately are not merged, but they cover the ideas. So here's the summary. I want you to remember what was the daemon model, that what are the tunables for restarts and stoppings of the service. If you consider writing a daemon, don't forget about FD store and possible serialization as a method to get rid of some troubles. And the idea for the future, whether we could use the R templates as a kill mode replacement. Here are references. Yeah, the slides, those are links if you get the PDFs. And here is the thank you slide for the first is the offer of the libzadr. Second is the offer of the two pull requests I've mentioned. And then also thank you for the attention.
Thank you. Questions?
Thank you. If I want to use this feature to update my service to a new version of my service, I need to replace the binary at some point during the systemd restart command on either a hook to be able to do that, or how can I update the file system with a new version of my binary to in the middle?
So that would be similar to the current behavior when the old binary is running, then you install it, and when you restart, so the new process loads the new binary. So like it doesn't need any interaction. That is the same as with restarts as they are today.
Any other questions?
So how far is general user land with this? Let's say if I have a laptop with a graphical session and I want to soft restart it, like.
So how far? Currently, it's just a branch on GitHub. There's one note. Second note that there will be another talk about soft reboots, which is something else. The idea also here was that it should not be that far away if it's implemented, because ideally it should mean just renaming the unit file and dropping the kill mode none.
I'm interested in the FD store feature in the Kubernetes context. I wonder if you know any initiative or people who are interested in do that outside of systemd, but for Kubernetes.
So I'm not aware of any FD store initiative, but I think it just should be advertised that it exists.
And all the documentation of FD store is not great, and yes, we should improve it a lot. Other questions? Yes.
So one issue that came up in the one of the other PRs that you mentioned is how to deal with resource allocation. How do you envision, memory assignments and disk throughput assignments and other stuff in those restarts when you have multiple overlapping instances?
That's a good question. So currently, since it is based on templates, so it all the instances are under one slice, and they are just treated equally. And as you see, I've chosen meaningless names for the generation, so there is no notion of active or mature generation. So my idea would be to somehow distinguish the active generation and mature generations, perhaps specify different resources for them, but I haven't thought through that.
Okay, we are out of time now. I have strong opinions on this stuff, as you might have seen on this PR, but we'll take it offline. Let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.